Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. Jono here, and today we are talking our position speculation. We're going to talk all things players who are going to lose a DPP, gain a DPP, who might lose a certain position. If they're a midfielder, they might go to the back line or the forward line. Who gets a ruck status, and just a quick look at what might some of the forward and defenders top 10 averaging players would look like for 2019. He's finally gotten the internet connected in the arse end of Ararat. We welcome back Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And it's interesting because we're talking positional values. And I'm giving you three clowns a fucking L for the podcasting. Apparently every player who's had more than 4 years in the system's basically retired. You've seen Ollie Wines off. You've seen Brody Smith off. You've seen Dustin Martin off. I run the Twitter account. I can't be held responsible for these people's absolute shenanigans. Whilst I'm away, things have just gone to hell in a handbasket. So I'm pretty pissed off, to be honest, Jono, and I'm back to rescue the show from the absolute absurdity that was the last 2 weeks. And it's actually interesting because I'm pretty fired up. People have asked me, what's Ararat like? Steve, you've moved to the bush. What's it like? And I say, well, I've never seen a pregnant woman smoke, and that's Ararat.
Wow, that is quite full on, and bet you, oh, I can't even go there. And the stash—it's gotten a little bit darker. I'm not sure if there's some sort of pen going on, but. It has gone a little bit ginger. We welcome the Statesman. How is the stash going?
Yeah, what is it? Gresham 2000? I've never used any hair colouring, and nor should I at the tender age of 28. But look, at the end of the day, it's fantastic to be in the second most established city out of us four. So I feel quite good. I'm no longer down the bottom. I'm sort of mid-range now. So life is absolutely wonderful, and we no longer have to take the mickey out of Tassie. We can just talk about the wonderful western area of Victoria.
No rebuttal there, Steve. We're just going to cop it.
Well, I don't think we've ever really hung it on Tasmania. I think we've actually been pretty pro-Tasmania. I think I've basically said every year I'd love to live in Tassie, but I'm actually glad, as Statesman said, is I can actually go West Side. And the millennials like Cam won't know what I'm talking about, but that was a big thing back in the day.
Certainly was. They're replaying his shows on Stan, so maybe the third McLaughlin can check him out. We welcome to you, Cam. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. And maybe it, should stay in the past, that one.
Jesus.
Doing well, though. I'm recovering from a long weekend of shenanigans to determine our draft order for next season, which ended up just a right old sore liver inducing weekend.
And what pick did you end up with?
Number one. Going in number one.
That's not bad. That's not good. I think it's a bad year to have number one.
It's tough. There were many talks about Titch's shoulders, many talks about, you know, do you take McRae instead? Do you take...
It's dangerous.
You take the ruck pick.
What's your setup? Yeah, what's your actual league setup, to be honest?
So we go, we're 10 person, 5...
5, 7, 1, 5.
7, yeah.
In DT or SC?
DT.
I don't see how you don't pick Grundy.
Yeah.
Yep.
I know, it's tough.
Yeah, I know.
I find it hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to pick Grundy in any draft myself, but I'd probably pick Titch. If when push came to shove, I'd probably pick Titch, to be honest.
I think I will, but Titch has a bad history in my league of losing finals.
It's a bad year to have number one. I really wanted number seven, number eight. Like,
see, I'm opposite on the whole Grundy train because I'm following him on Instagram and social media, and he's currently climbing Mount Everest. That white blood cell count, he's going to be getting that altitude training. He's going to be good for the whole season. So career year coming up for Brady Grundy if you're number one, taking him.
Oh. And you've got to think he is sort of so clearly the number one in his position. And I'd say, yes, there's a close number two, but the close number two's now got some concerns. So if you're going to go anything to make a difference on a position, you've got to go him.
But you think about it, like, if you pick Grundy as number one, then there's not going to be a ruck chosen for 100 picks. Like, that just...
Yep.
So, and especially if we're talking about the top defenders being so valuable, you could be entering... This is the thing, because you're going to be going back to that 2-3 turn with, a lower-end mid, a lower defender, yeah. And then what's your next batch of defenders and mids going to look like? I understand the logic. I wrote a little bit of a little theory piece on the weekend that, got some love, and I'm not sure that I could do it. I think it's a really interesting discussion, because I think someone's going to do it, but it's not going to be me.
It's probably not going to be me. I think the differential won't be worth it.
If you're in a 3-4-1, if you're in a 3-4-1-3, then go for it. Mm. Absolutely locked in. Grundy number one.
Can I actually say that I'm in the belief, looking, and I've got the ruck position to look at today, although it's for different reasons. But looking through it, I'm really struggling to name who the top four or five rucks are. So if people are only squared away of saying those four rucks are going to be okay because the rest of them are going to be running two ruck systems and sharing and averaging 70s, I reckon ruckman 2, 3, and 4, which might be Goldie, it probably is Gorn, and there's probably one other that's going to sneak through there. I reckon they're still going to go early. No. Because I reckon people will be in a panic. If I don't get them, I'm getting a 70 average ruck.
Well, I would hope that our listeners don't do that. Well, honestly, we're here to, spread the gospel and all that sort of thing. But, like, I'm not the two rucks I've identified as my targets are Nank and Cruiser. And people can laugh all they want, but if we don't know what sort of stoppages the new game's going to create, I'm looking for the rucks who are in a sole situation, who don't rely on hitouts to get their points volume, and that's Nank and Cruiser. Like 1 year ago, we were talking about Cruiser as a top three ruck.
Yep.
Let's not go crazy. And they've added a key forward, so they, to me, that's less of a split situation. Like, he's always been in a very good around the ground ruckman, Matty Cruiser. It's just a matter of getting on the park.
And I think Steve's important message there is actually don't fold under pressure and stick to your strategy. So if one or two or three rucks get taken, don't be drawn into just drafting a ruck for your next pick because you're afraid you're not going to get one.
Oh, God, if you draft Sam Jacobs, like, please don't.
And can I say to all our listeners, we do apologise for Steve coming back because all of a sudden we're totally off the running sheet.
Yeah, but how much better has it been?
I think Stacey just likes the 35-minute show, that's it.
We haven't retired anyone yet.
Give it time.
Still time.
Give it time. Yeah. I've got a long list of players at my fingertips for tonight, so don't worry about that. But we will kick into the show. Cam, you are going to run us through some of those players who you are going to speculate on who's going to lose that forward status for the 2019 season.
Yeah, so there are a few. Devin Smith is my number one. I reckon he'll lose it. He kicked 17 snags, but I'd suggest he was named pretty much on the follower in the centre every single game, and they take that into consideration a lot. So he'll lose it. And as far as draft range goes, because we're going to throw in some where we think you would draft these players. For me, I actually started doing my ranking today, and I can't see him going earlier than late round 3 as a mid only.
Cam, can I just ask a question? Will Devin Smith be drafted before Stephen Motlop?
Yes.
So who's going
yes,
to be
good. Absolutely?
Yeah, but who's going to be better value? It's actually funny. Can I just like interject now?
I think I've won that one.
Yep.
Can we go back 2 years ago? I think I'm squared away with that one.
But this wasn't a keeper discussion. This is just completely irrelevant.
So I actually had Mundy as a lock to keep. So that's interesting.
Nah, he's gone. For mine.
Gonskis?
For mine.
So the others that I looked at, I'll just go through pretty quick. Let's have a chat about, I guess. Danger?
I'll talk about Danger. We'll get to Danger when we do me. Is that all right?
All right.
Yeah.
All good. Heen Dog?
Retains.
Yeah, he retains.
Oh. Dunkley?
Loses.
I think he retains.
Whoa. Second half of the season, I didn't see him do anything but play midfield.
Yeah. I have a big problem with the Bulldogs players. The three Bulldogs players, McLean, Dunkley and Bont, I think they've all got a case to be either or both.
I've got three more. Jed Anderson.
Gone.
Gonski's Rocky.
Gone.
Retain.
Jono, don't know.
It's 6-1 half the other.
He's one easy. He's. I'll talk about him, but that's fine.
Okay, and finally Wayne Malera. He'll probably go lose forward.
He'll go
game defender.
Yeah, I've got him.
Yeah, the one you've missed that's easy to lose forward status is Sicily. He's losing forward status.
Yeah,
good one.
Crozier, I think, probably loses it.
Yeah, I got that down.
Yep.
Or maybe that's it. Oh, Lob, I would. Lob's probably interesting. But they're probably the guys at the top who lose it. Sicily was obviously very high in both formats. I would say the other guy who's I've seen debated is Menegola, who I actually think retains pretty nicely. I actually put him in the same boat as Heaney, as those mids who aren't, but I think he's got a better case than Heaney.
For those that are really borderline, if they've actually swapped clubs and it's really clear of what their new role is going to be. So we look at Lobb. So he's not going to be a ruckman by any stretch of the imagination at Fremantle. He's been there to be the second tall or a deep tall forward. So if he's borderline, do they just go, well, he's there for forward, bang, he's forward? And I'd probably ask that question because is Westhoff ever going to play in the ruck again?
No, of course he's not.
So I just wonder if he's borderline and he was only there as part-time and part-time in the second half of the year. If you're borderline, do you make that discussion point and go, okay, well, they're never going to be ruck, so he shouldn't be ruck?
Well, Lobb's interesting because he was supposed to be ruck, but he didn't end up playing ruck because he was playing so many games injured. He was actually spending quite a lot of time forward as well. So I think he'll probably just be a forward anyway. Yep. But I think your point's probably well taken, Statesman, and that's just kind of one of those things we as the public don't know.
Yep, absolutely.
What's next, Jono?
What's next is up you, those who gained the forward status for 2019 and a look at what potentially could be the top 10 averaging forward lines for next year.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with Patrick Dangerfield because to me, he's absolutely contentious and he's absolutely in the ballpark of being a forward. Whether that happens, I'm not sure. He did receive the DPP switch in AFL Fantasy, not in Ultimate Footy. Take that for whatever you want. And I'm absolutely torn as to whether this one happens or not. I think the reasoning is absolutely there. He didn't take a great deal of centre bounces, especially towards the end of the year. And starting positions matter, as we know. So Fantasy Freako did tweet about it at the end of the footy season that it was going to be one of those line ball decisions. And I actually think it's great for Dream Team drafters and probably Supercoach drafters as well because I thought last year's draft was quite vanilla. There wasn't a whole lot of speculation. And I actually think we're going to lose a whole host of players. And I don't think it's such a bad thing if someone like Patrick Dangerfield sitting at the top was going to be included as a forward. I can't tell if he's going to be a forward or not, but I think he's got a really, really, really strong case. Probably a stronger case than the next two guys I'm going to talk about. But what do you guys have a gut feel? Jono, I know you love your gut feels.
I think they're going to give us Danger as a forward next year. You look at the way they do it. They'll give you one, maybe two top-end talents, then middle tier, and then a lot of, like, you pick off the waiver wire, essentially, that get that forward status. So I think he's going to be one of those primo forwards for next year.
I kind of think they're going to be a little bit hesitant to give too many big names. Like, they've got so much flexibility in rounds 6 and 12 and 18 in fantasy to add more dual positions, right? So I see them playing a bit more safe and starting with less and pushing it through the season.
Although I'm pretty sure that champion data decide the positions, and the positions at the start of the season is exactly the same for super coach as it is for AFL fantasy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The only difference is super coach don't change.
Correct. And so I think they do it with a balance point of view rather than the flexibility that one game has the changes. I think the only one that remains a little bit different, and obviously it's another newspaper-driven one, and that's Ultimate Footy Through the Age. Now, I think they look, and I could be wrong, but I think they look at what champion data do, but then determine their own decision from it.
Well, AFL Fantasy were quite more, I would say, more liberal in the big names than Ultimate Footy were. Like, Ultimate Footy didn't make the splash moves that AFL Fantasy did last year.
But I always found that Ultimate Footy would keep a Goddard or a Delidio as a defender for longer. So I think they went on historical data, if that makes sense to you. So if someone was a defender for 4 years, they seem to hold on to it for a little bit longer.
Yeah, there's usually been a couple of extra players who you start with, but they don't make the sweeping changes through the season, if that makes sense.
Yep.
The two next players I want to talk about are Dusty and Bont. And I don't think they get it, because they generally don't give it to these sort of players. And Dusty took a lot of centre bounces, but he did go forward and spent a lot of time in the forward 50. But starting positions do matter. So I find it hard to believe that he gets it. Bont, maybe, but he's in... The problem is he wins too many centre bounces for mine. So if we look at the players who, when we go, oh, how did they get forward status historically, like an Isaac Smith or a McRae a couple of years ago, they're those players who line up on the wing. Now, if they're lining up a bit forward of centre or whatever, I kind of believe that plays into it. If you're in there winning two centre bounces a game, that's at the higher end of the spectrum. I find it hard to believe that you're going to get forward status. So I really don't think Dusty or Bonapelli get it. I know a lot of people say, oh, they spend all this time forward, but I don't know that plays a whole lot into it at the end of the day. So I find it hard to believe. And I actually think Isaac Smith is an outside chance to get it. He's just one of those players who lines up outside, hits the scoreboard in a big way. This is a guy who kicked over a goal a game. And he's just always going to be in that discussion based on where he starts. So someone who I definitely think will attract the forward status, and he did get it in both of the position-changing games, and that's Jack Zeebel. Now, he goes from a non-draftable mid to a draftable forward, averaged the 83 Dream Team and an 84 Super Coach. So it's not a high-end player we're talking about, but it's certainly someone who should be rostered with that forward status. Tom Rockliffe, we spoke about briefly. I thought it was a rough year. He did attract forward status in AFL Fantasy. I've charted a few Port Adelaide games, and the fact is he started around about half the centre bounces in the square. So when we look at that combined with his low time on ground, I'm not sure he's registering enough forward time to necessitate the forward status. If he got midfield forwards, that's fine. But I think if you had him last year, he was definitely an MF-er. Nice little joke there. See the boys nodding. Mm. Not an audible laugh, but...
That was a ripper.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, Cam, you fucking prick. How many fucking players did you retire last year? Jesus. Is Ollie Wines yours?
So you're enjoying life, obviously, at the end of the day in Ararat.
Mate, Will Hoskin-Elliott. yeah, he'll get forward status, but will he be fantasy relevant? Probably not. Jason Johannesson. Interesting one. Actually got the forward status. And early in the year, he was probably lining up a bit more forward. And that's when he got the forward status. Towards the back half of the year, didn't happen. That was out. I don't expect him to be listed as a forward. He'll be a defender and defender only, especially when you're rocking in games with 12 rebound 50s, as he did in the St Kilda game towards the end of the year. So I don't expect that to continue. Speaking of St Kilda players who got forward status randomly, Jack Nunes was a player who got forward status, and it actually makes a little bit of sense. When we look at his stats, to me, the things he did made a lot of sense. The problem was his fantasy numbers went to the absolute shitter. He's been sort of a mid to high 80s averaging player in both formats of the game for the last 3 years. Averaged around 65 this year. I actually think he'll probably retain it. So if he retains it, you're banking on him going back to some sort of wing half-back role. But I don't see that being in the cards, especially with the addition of Dan Hannabry. So, and you know, you consider if Dylan Robinson comes back into the team, probably a few spots to fill there. I think things are working against Jack Nunes being a draftable asset. If you wanted to take him late, because he's coming off a very low base, got the forward status, I don't have a problem with it. That's fine. Then we're starting to really get into the dregs. Adam Chera, he's got every chance to be a forward. Freo did move him all over the shop. Forward, defense, midfield. He's very interesting because who knows what champion data is. He's listed as a forward on Stats Pro, which I think is a pretty good guide. Though if you went off Stats Pro, basically F1 coming into the season is going to be, you know, Jack Billings. So probably a low base to come off, but I think Adam Chera is an interesting one. He could get forward, he could get defense, he could be a pure mid. He's got a bit of a range of outcomes heading into the draft. Can he break out? I don't know, but he's certainly one I'm interested in. Sparkle Narkle, yes, he'll get it, but who cares? Nick Holman, he may get it, but is he best 22? Brody Majacek, he'll get it, but he's a streaming option at best. Mitch Brown gets it. Is he a streaming option? Probably. Joe Danaher comes. Wait, Statesman's just... I don't know if Statesman's cringing or his mustache is trying to run off his face. But there's something going on there. But look, there's streaming options. Like Joe Danaher, I know, missed a lot of time. I've got three players who I think will get forward status who maybe aren't super relevant. But that's... well, actually, one of them's relevant, and that's Tommy Cutler. I think Tommy Cutler is a big chance to get forward status. Hugh Greenwood, I think, is a massive chance to get forward status. And Ryan Bastnak, I know he's been cut, but he'll apparently be rookie listed. I think he should get forward status. And I've got a few players who are pretty high-end players who I think are real surprise candidates to get forward status. As we know, there's always a few surprise options. Sampel Pepper, Brad Ebert, Tim Kelly, Luke Parker, and Scott Selwood would be my surprise bunch of five to get it. But all of them had good forward 50 stats, so that's kind of what I'm looking at.
Yes, interesting players there. Blokes like Holman and that, you won't be looking at, but the Nunes one is an interesting one. We know he was defender in Ultimate Footy, but mid only in Supercoach this year, so... I was toying with him. Does he get that defender status for Supercoach this year? And then is he viable? And then I just struck a line through him because he's not going to be scoring any scoring relevance, as you said, this year for me. So, who do you have there for your top 10 averaging forwards for next year?
Yeah, okay. So quickly, I'll go through my top 10 dream team, and this is with the people who were forwards this year as opposed to what it could be without them. So my top 10 was, the top 10 that was in dream team was Devon, Dangerfield, Westhoff, Menegola, Dunkley, Sicily, McLean, Barlow, Buddy, and Taranto. And without it, and this is, it could be, I'm not projecting it, but it could be Westhoff, Buddy, Taranto, Heaney, Tom McDonald, Jesse Hogan, Tom Hawkins, Travis Boak, Jack Gunston, and Jack Billings. And for Supercoach, by average, the top 10 was James Sicily, Sam Reed, Tomahawk, Justin Westhoff, Buddy, Menegola, Devin Smith, Tom McDonald, and Isaac Heaney. And without the players, you're talking Sam Reed, Tom Hawkins, Justin Westhoff, Buddy Franklin, Tom McDonald, Isaac Heaney, Robbie Gray, Jack Gunston, Luke Bruce, and Jack Riewoldt.
Interesting top 10 list there.
I mean, that's where Dangerfield comes in as an absolute game changer.
Definitely. Yeah, interesting top 10s there. I looked at it slightly different when I came to my top 10 of who I think would finish as your top 10 averaging for next year. So.
Oh, that's not my finishing, but that's who's starting.
Yep. Fair enough.
I mean, Christ, if we're talking who's finishing, fucking Tim Tirano and Toby Green and who else?
And, yeah, next, please. I'm going to be looking at those players who are gaining defender status. Before that, Cam will look at those who lose defender status. So, Cam, who are you looking at who's going to lose that defender status for 2019?
The big one, I think everyone, there's a couple of big ones actually, but Angus Brayshaw will lose his defender status. He was a ripper this year, but next year I wouldn't expect him to be anything more than a mid. Elliot Yeo. We'll go very, very close.
How's he not the number one?
The number one which?
Who loses defender.
No, he was. Oh, Elliot Yeo.
Yeah.
Angus Brayshaw was amazing the second half of the year.
You fucking seen what Elliot Yeo did in the second half of the year? That's why you clowns got strampled. Elliot Yeo should retire, Cam. Just retire.
Well, he's approaching 30, right? So it's so Elliot Yeo number
Andrew
two.
Brayshaw
Steve
was approaching 30.
Tom Cutler, I think you're right in regards to him moving forward, so he'll lose that defender status. Paul Seedsman ran around on the wing for the majority of the year, so he'll likely lose it. Tom McDonald will be exclusively a forward. And I'm throwing in a speculative Bailey Williams to just go mid next year.
No. He'll be mid forward or mid defender or just pure defender.
Actually, sorry, I should have brought up, actually, in the losing forward status, Dale Thomas.
Gain defender?
He'll gain defender. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but
he'll
Dale lose Thomas, forward. Defender for sure.
Yeah, but is he fantasy relevant for next year? With those guys like a Doherty and Nick Newman coming into that team as well, so.
Yeah, it's a good question, John.
It is a good question. You got any other players there losing defender status, Cam?
They're all the main ones, to be honest. It was a bit thinner on the defender status.
It is very thin on the defender status because the guys who are going to be defenders are generally just pure defenders and will stay that way. But a few guys looking to get defender status, probably the number one player is Lockie Whitfield. Pretty much played off the halfback line of all of 2018 and averaged quite well there. So you would expect him to retain it. He got it pretty early in Ultimate Footy as well as AFL Fantasy. As I just mentioned before, Nick Newman has gone to Carlton, so he did get defender status in Ultimate Footy this year, and I think where he played for the Sydney Swans in the handful of games that he did, they will give us Nick Newman, even though he will play in the midfield for Carlton, if you're asking me, and he's going to absolutely brain it there. especially when you got Cripps, Kennedy, SPS, Paddy Dow, and a potentially Sam Walsh in that midfield. Draft range for Nick Newman, if he does get this defender status, it's in the mid-teens. If not, then it would be the late teens as a speculative midfield looking to break out. So around 18, 19 is where I was looking at him. Aaron Hall, this guy keeps popping up and being a bane of my existence because he has played a bit in the back line. He has moved into North Melbourne. If they do give him defender status, then I'm going to be pretty hot on him. But again, it's that role defining for him. What position, what role will he play at North Melbourne? Where will he see his score build come from? We know he can get the ball, but as I said a couple of weeks ago, he doesn't tackle, he doesn't kick goals, so he just purely relies on those possessions. So if he gets defender status and he's got a nice, cushy role there at North Melbourne, it's got to be just in that 8, 9, 10 rounds where you're drafting him. If not, if he doesn't have a cushy fantasy role, then he could be later in the mid-teens where I'd be looking at drafting Aaron Hall. Should he get it or not get the defender status? As we mentioned before, Hayden Crozier will be a pure defender for 2019. Once we saw Matty Suckling go down with that Achilles injury, he absolutely stood up and brained it. With no Adams and Ruffy playing in that team, I know he's not a tall defender, so it's going to be interesting to see how they fit all these guys in the back line. You've got Bailey Williams, Crozier, Johannesson, Wood. So it's going to be really interesting, and Suckling, so it's going to be interesting to see.
Jure
as well, yeah, forgot about that one. So, well, Jure can swing forwards.
Whether, and not kick goals like the Bulldogs, so that's fits right in.
He can play VFL as well.
Exactly right. So Crozier is going to be a watch over the JLT if he gets drafted or not. Caleb Daniel, the last 4 to 6 weeks is an interesting one. He played off the half-back line, racked up numerous possessions there. And Supercoach, he, in the last 4 weeks, especially scored 3 out of 4 tons, and AFL Fantasy 2 out of 4. So one I'll be quite interested in, and he could get a little bit of bump in midfield time out on the wing where he is a clean use of the ball. If he is dashing off half-back, again, does he fit into that back six as well? So a lot of, as Steve said, a lot of big questions about the Western Bulldogs for 2019. Jordan Ruffhead has moved to the Collingwood Football Club.
Did on the show, Doc, didn't say fantasy relevant players.
Just those who will gain defender status. I think Jordan Ruffhead could gain defender status. He was drafted by Collingwood to play that Lyndon Dunn or Sharon Goat role, so might be a little bit of fantasy relevance, maybe not. Wayne Miller, a certainty to get that defender status, played the majority of the second half of the year there. Rory Atkins, I think, is another one who could get defender status. We know he's predominantly a wingman. To have some interest in him if he does get the defender status there. And Jackson Trengove as well for the Bulldogs was listed as a forward in 2018 and did play a lot in defence and ruck. And if he is going to be playing ruck but with defender status, will score quite well in 2019. And just some speculative ones that we can look at who sort of a wish list of who might get defender status. Seb Ross for St Kilda spent a fair bit of time in defence. I know Champion Data like to throw in the odd one like Taylor Adams a couple of years ago, so he could be one of those. David Zaharakis as well has spent time in defence as well, so hopefully one of them two get it because they will certainly add to the quality of defenders that are in there at the moment.
Do you think the amount of players who are lining up as quality defenders is part of the reason the AFL wants to go to a 6-6-6 lining up? Because I'm looking at the forwards going, geez, there's not a lot here. And if, if players are having to line up in a forward line, they're more of a chance to get forward status, you know, rather than running into the centre bounce off the wing.
I see what you mean, because with this, I've got a top 10 here of who could be the top 10 averaging players for next year, starting off with Supercoach. No particular order. I've got Jakey Lloyd, Rory Laird, the Sick Dog, Whitfield, Doherty, Cripps, Simpson, Zach Williams, Luke Ryan, Harris Andrews, and honourable mentions, because we don't know how these new rules are going to play out. You've got Howe, Shaw, Hurley, McGovern, Witherden, and Blakely. That's just Supercoach. So,
that's your speculative, yeah?
Yeah, speculative.
Yeah, okay. So my list was more how it was going to roll into the season.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, the show doc said speculative, so. It's all about
because we don't know who's going to be removed and who's going to be added.
Mm. And with the AFL Fantasy, I had Lloyd, Laird, Whitfield, Sicily, Doherty, Blakely, Crisp, Witherden, Simpson, and Howe. So the defenders are pretty vanilla for next year, but there's still going to be some quality defenders there to pick up for next year, as opposed to the forwards. Excuse me. Moving on now to the Statesman, where he's going to look at the rucks and some other players who might lose their DPP and gain it as well.
Can I just firstly say, Jono, thank you very much for your detailed list analysis of the Western Bulldogs. Hearing every single player on their list was just magnificent listening. I'll just move on to the ruck.
Each and every week.
And it's fair to say, at the end of the day, there's not a lot that's fantasy relevant that's going to happen with the ruck status. I think the most important one to discuss is Justin Westhoff. 32 years of age, has been a reasonably good scorer up forward, but last year was just one out of the box. And highlight at the end of the year with obviously Paddy Ryder's injury, and he was filling in for the ruck position and just found himself free around the ground. And I think his tackle stats went up very high as well in the second half of the year. So had certainly his best year of scoring. But now with the recruitment of Scotty Lysette to give Paddy Ryder that support, they'll be sharing the ruck slant ruck forward role, which they can both play pretty well, which it's interesting to see where that leaves Justin Westhoff. And it'll be interesting to see where he actually fits into their plans. But turning 33 next year, they obviously need to have a bit of a structure going forward. So he may gain the ruck status. The question I asked at the beginning of the pod was, if you know they're not going to play that role and the border, it's a borderline point of whether they take that position, of whether they actually gain it for fantasy footy. So it's one we just need to keep an eye on. But the reality is, I think Justin Westhoff is a lot less relevant next year than he was this year. Scotty Lysette should gain forward status, especially the first half of the year. He spent a lot of time as that forward ruck rather than being the ruck forward. As we know, Vardy and him sort of reverse role, but he spent a fair bit of time throughout the year. So I reckon he's going to tick that box in the 35%. Mason Cox, who I don't think is hugely relevant, and is going to be less relevant now. He's probably going to lose his ruck status. Yes, he gives Brody Grundy a little bit of relief, but it is only a little bit of a relief, and that's why Brody Grundy is clearly the number one ruckman in fantasy football at the moment. Mad Jack Dore will lose ruck status. One for the keeper league.
Could Madge grab defender status? Obviously, he was fantastic in defence for the Kangaroos.
That's all he'll be. Yeah. He'll just be a defender.
Yeah.
No doubt about that, which keeps him low end relevant for your deeper leagues.
I think he was really good in defence.
He was.
Yeah.
He was. Tim English for our keeper leagues will lose forward status. Didn't play a lot of footy this year, but when he did play, he actually played as the first ruckman, and I think that's where his future is. Mind you, as we know, for some reason, the Western Bulldogs have 15 different ruck options. Only two of them are actually ruckmen, but there are 15 different ruck options at that club. And not so fantasy relevant, but could be at the beginning of the year, is Nathan Vardy will gain forward status. There's no doubts about that. And if you've got the choice, Nathan Vardy or Tom Hickey, which one do you pick to be your number one ruckman? That's going to be an interesting point for West Coast Eagles. But he's probably worthwhile having on your bench in a deep league for the first half of the season.
Can we just unpack Justin Westhoff quickly? Because he's probably the most relevant person. Well, yes. He is the most relevant person we've talked about.
If one of Lysette or Ryder out injured or whatever the case, or non-selected, Westhoff is hugely fantasy relevant. I'm just not quite sure how they're going to utilise him if they've got Charlie Dixon, Lysette and Ryder all playing. I'm just a little bit unsure. It could mean that he just gets that license to roam free, and then, yes, of course, because he's going to be taking a huge amount of mark.
Well, obviously, the sun sets quicker in Ararat because we cannot see Steve at all on this Skype call. Have you got any other DPP gains or losses there, Statesman?
No, not at this stage.
All right, we've got a few questions here from the listeners. They've all come from the Twitter. We're going to kick it off with Bales81, long-time listener. He asks us our thoughts on Connor Blakely's possibility of filling in Lachie Neal's position there at the Fremantle midfield, and is he a Defender 1 prospect?
I think we need to leave this with Steve, because I think him and I have very different points of view on this one.
I don't think it's fair to say we have different points of view. I think Connor Blakely is the most likely suspect. But I think Fremantle could go a number of ways, because if we look at the way Fremantle filled their midfield last year, it was essentially Lachie Neal number one, Nat Fyfe number two, and David Money number three. Now, the number one's gone. So where does that leave us? And the number three is, you know, he may be the first 150-year-old human born into existence. So we're talking about a situation where Fremantle have drafted inside midfielders. Like, they've drafted pretty high-end midfielders, two in the top five. Now, I think Connor Blakely is a likely suspect to go in there, but I also don't think we should discount how Andrew Brayshaw should go in there. Like, I think they've seen Adam Cherrin, what he can do on the outside. But I think Andrew Brayshaw is a real likely candidate to get some pretty heavy inside time.
Or Harley Bunnell, either or.
R.I.P.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Someone will go to that well expecting Harley Bunnell.
Oh, mate, I'll go to that well. I love Harley Bunnell.
Don't we all?
Round 16. Just jump the gun.
Why not, indeed? Also from Twitter is Brad Johnso. He asks us, who keeps the forwards?
What was the great man's response?
It's true. What is
to the Connor Blakely?
Statesman?
Yeah, he's... Yep, get on him. Yeah. Simple.
There you go.
But can I be honest? Where would you rank him? Like, say, Jake Lloyd, Rory Laird, Sam Doherty, Lachie Whitfield, is he in the mix or is he behind them?
He's in the mix.
Okay.
And I say that purely and simply that he's the one that's got the biggest movement up. So he hasn't reached his ceiling yet. He's still got the best football ahead of him. A few of those others have already played or are playing their best football.
I would take him after those that were mentioned, just purely because his body is so unreliable.
I also think that the era of the plus six for the small defenders is probably over.
It's pretty fire take.
Yeah, I think the little short little chip is, it's not dead, it's reduced by 30-40%.
That's a pretty fire take. Like, I know the 10-metre thing's there, but, I mean, if someone's out there on the flank, like, they're going to kick it to them straight away.
But you've already got that space. You're already there.
Yeah. Why go laterally when you can move straight up the ground?
You're doing that when you're wasting time.
No, but I mean, you're 20 metres up. Like, you're still inside the arc, but you're free. Like, you don't have that. Like,
basically, that's just shifting it from the pocket to the 50. And I still think it's going to be a tactic.
Yeah, I still think so too. I don't... Yeah.
We need to let the new rules play out because the coaches will be thinking of many things.
Well, that's what I wrote in my little dossier during the week is like, I think we're going to be very wrong on a lot of things and we really have to even if we're wrong.
Overanalyzing before something's already happened.
The defenders that will get the bump, we need to get the rules clarified, are those that are going to get the disposals from the kickouts. So the defenders with good skills, so your Witherden types, are the ones that are going to rise the most because, you know, their 6 or 7 kick-ins is an extra...
12, 15 points or whatever.
18 to 21 points.
Well, I think it's been tweeted out that the Luke Ryan, like the guy who actually kicks the ball very well, who...
Yep.
Yeah.
They're the ones.
Mm.
Anyway,
next question is from Brad Johnso off Twitter. He asks, who keeps a forward status in Ultimate Footy from these four gentlemen? Jason Johannesson, we spoke about, we say loses the forward status. Reece Stanley, I think he loses. He'll just be a ruck only. Georgie Hewitt from Sydney Swans, I think he retains, in my opinion. And Donuts Motlop, will he keep forward status?
Yeah, the only one I think keeps it, or has a chance to keep it, is Donuts. George Hewitt's no chance, in my opinion. He was a tagger, essentially, the whole year. He's starting too many centre bounces in the middle. Donuts is the only guy you could count on, and I'm not even guaranteeing that, to be honest. And how relevant is he? He's probably not someone I'm keeping. And, you know, essentially a very, you know, dynasty league sort of thing.
Yeah. And the last question is for the Statesman. It's from Evans Eagles CC. He asks us, with Grundy a lock for many coaches, who are you considering for your R2 next year? Are you looking at someone who's a little bit underpriced, like a Jacobs, a Cruiser, or even a Steph Martin?
I seriously am waiting to see what the prices are and see if there's going to be an unearthed rookie that's going to run like a, you know, a Tim English type from a year ago or so. The only one that I was remotely interested in was because he's probably going to take the number one mantle was Billy Longer, but he only played 5 games, averaging 44. So I thought, what a great discount, but... The way the model works is they look at the highest average for the past 2 years, and he played 19 games the year before at 78, so you're going to get a 15% discount from 78. I ain't paying that much money for Billy Longer. So I'll be honest. I have last week's show an idea about what my R2 is going to look like. I need to see the positions and the pricings and the JLT before I make that call. So it's a long way away. I think that the second best ruckman in the competition, barring anyone getting injury, will be Max Gawn again.
Drunk.
But I don't think he's
drunk.
I don't think he's going to average what he averaged this year. So I wouldn't start with him. I'd let his price decrease before I pick him up, probably in the mid-season break, once hopefully they're going in with one ruckman.
Nank. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Look, it's one of those things. It's a wait and see to how it looks. Be interesting to see how cheap Cruiser is.
Oh, he's very much on the radar.
Wrapping it up for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.